What's that you have heard in your mind now?
Oh,
oh, it's out of the mind. But it's kept some words. The best words is not forgetful that. Seeing now is that that should be understood. Or hearing or thinking or any reality should be known. Otherwise, Buddha wasted time talking about all this. Because they are so very important, because they are life. And in order to really understand life, it means that now, this moment. So wherever we are, we might not think about seeing and hearing at all. But that which is kept in the mind is now. What appears is that what the Buddha taught for anyone to accumulate understandings. Because without the accumulation of understanding, how can they be conditioned to understand it? It's always now, but no understanding because of not seeing the importance of the words of the Buddha. But it's hard to have this in mind. Yeah. But when we heard a lot and thought a lot, then it can be conditioned.
And so when people say it's difficult to, or they find it difficult to think of the idea of there being awareness in certain situations, and they think that that some situations are more suitable for awareness than others, like a retreat, there's no appreciation of the fact that it's actually what has been understood that matters, not where one is. Because what has been understood is, in Ajahn's words, kept in the mind and accumulated. And because it's not, it can't be summoned up, awareness can't be summoned up by will, it arises by conditions. And those conditions include hearing and considering more about realities, and the awareness of what is, what realities are appearing now, but not wanting to have awareness. So there's no knowing actually when awareness may arise, when there may be remembering that it's the realities of the present moment that are the object of awareness and understanding, quite independent of the situation in which we find ourselves at any time. Isn't that so, Lan?
Let me think about it. Until it's your own understanding. Because you see that what everyone heard about, like awareness, it seems like it's not difficult to understand, but actually no understanding, no clear comprehended of any word at all, even seeing. It now sees. But what about that which is not self at all? It's only a moment which is conditioned, otherwise it cannot arise. And when it sees, it's go following instantly. So what is taken after that is not that which is seen or the seeing at all. It's the idea and thinking about it. And we used to think about things and permanent and people and the world quite a lot. No understanding at all. Because if there is understanding, it has to be just one at a time, clearly thought about. For example, you might have heard the word awareness in English and different words in Thai, but they are only words talking by many people. But what is the reality of that, like awareness? If you don't study the teachings at all, what do you mean by awareness? See? Please tell me what you mean by awareness. See?
It is just a word. We all speak different languages.
Yeah.
So, But what is awareness?
Mm-hmm. So what is awareness when we talk about awareness in general?
Not about Buddhism, but if you were talking to friends in Australia, what is awareness?
Oh, clarity or...
Thinking.
Is it different from awareness, thinking? So when you use that word in your own language, what does it mean? Not to forget? Or what?
Just being able to think.
Knowing.
Well, it's usually one's attention is drawn to something, and then you become aware of it, and it's the thought
beware
process.
Beware of something. Like what?
Like you're aware of the insects on the floor.
Yeah, the bird singing outside, but it's all about thinking.
What about I'm aware of the insect?
Yes, yeah, something like that.
What does it mean?
It means, oh, I...
You recognize it is there.
I realize that it is there. Yes, I recognize it.
If we are talking, like, spiritually, as it were, then it also has a meaning of, you know, if we say he's a very aware person, he or she is a very aware person, that's sort of different again, isn't it?
All-knowing in a spiritual sense, perhaps.
Right. As
knowing more.
Knowing more about spirituality.
Yes.
But that's pretty vague, isn't it? It'd be difficult to pin it down. Would be more precise than that.
It might just be he's an aware person that he sees the sunrises and knows when the moon is out and understands when someone has a problem or sensitive or something like that.
Or notices something other people don't notice. Right.
And one thing that nobody knows is that awareness is not me. It's not anyone at all. See, that's why we use the word that we don't really understand at all. Even when we say to be aware, it's not anyone. And when we talk about just seeing, and we don't use the Pali word, what does it mean? To be aware of seeing, see? Most people just want to have awareness without any understanding at all. Awareness of what? While one is walking, be aware. No, not at all. How can you be aware of walking? When you say that you are aware of walking, what do you mean?
I suppose awareness when walking is awareness of the body sensations of putting, you know, the foot on the ground and feeling the earth beneath your feet, lifting your foot up, you know, your body moving from moment to moment. I suppose that's what I would think of awareness of walking.
Yes, it's you all the time. No understanding of the nature of the reality of what you call foot or ground, or at moment when you lift your foot up. No understanding. That's not the Buddha's teaching. Because the Buddha teachings is all about the truth of reality that nobody knows at all. Until that person come across the teachings and see the value of understanding the truth of each moment. Otherwise, one lives in the world without any understanding. One takes everything for I and myself, or mine, many, many times a day, usually almost all day, unknowingly. And is that right or wrong? Because that which appears is conditioned to arise, to appear, just in split seconds, not permanent at all. When we think of the impermanency of anything, it seems like it takes time to decay or to change the form, but actually it's much more quicker than that, just now. See, that's why when we consider the teachings of the Buddha, it brings just different understanding from what we think. Nobody can think about that. And it's beyond expectation that that can be the very fully developed understanding. When? Who knows? Even listening to the teachings, one has to know that this is the teachings of the Buddha, the enlightened one. The other's teaching cannot talk about reality which can bring about understanding. So anyone who just knows the value of understanding will study each word carefully, like be aware. It doesn't mean that I'm aware when I walk. No understanding at all. Just I and am aware. No understanding that even awareness is conditioned. Without right condition, it cannot arise at all. Who can be aware of a reality in order to see that it's not self? What is not self at all? So even just one word, awareness, is not the ordinary awareness that we use and we think that, oh, now I'm aware, so it's all right. It's just that. It's not just that at all. Without the understanding from reading and considering, no conditions for awareness to arise. So at the moment that the people like to watch, see who is doing so. So what is seen? No understanding. And some said that they had experienced the arising and falling away of reality. Is that right? Because there's no understanding of even this moment. So it's only the experience that can happen anytime, like when there's wrong concentration, like on breath. It seems like the world is gone. Nothing. Some is so frightened that there is no more I. So that is not the understanding at all. So it doesn't mean to try to have the special or beyond everyday life to have such and such experience, but without understanding. And it lures that one has gained some knowledge. Knowledge of what? No, not understanding reality right now. It cannot be any knowledge or understanding at all. And some read Tipitaka very carelessly, like the Panya needs the samadhi, see? But what kind of samadhi? Samadhi is a cetasika, a mental factor. It's not the citta itself, because citta is that which can be the faculty of experiencing, the chief of experiencing like now. Seeing is that which experiences visible object. But there are other mental factors arising, performing the function which is not a function of citta. And one of them is concentration or samadhi. Very ordinary. At any time there is samadhi. So what is meant by right understanding needs the concentration as its factor. Doesn't mean any kind of concentration, but has to be that samadhi, which arises with samadhi only. See? So people just read and think that they understand and they get it, but it's wrong. But when one knows that samadhi is the mental factor which is ekakata cetasika, one-pointedness, arises with each moment of citta, so even right now there is samadhi, but it's not that which can support panya to have the clear comprehension of that which appears. So even at that moment there must be the understanding of what is talked about right at that point. For example, ditti in Pali is understanding. There can be wrong one, mitchatiti, and sammatiti, the right one. But when we are just talking about the akusala, unwholesome mental factors, we don't have to say that it's mitchatiti because it's under the subject of unwholesome. So it has to be mitchatiti. But if we are careless, we think that any kind, no matter it's mitcha, you think that it is samma. That's why one needs understanding to read, to study the teachings. Because people in the old days, they have accumulated lots of understanding. as soon as Buddha talk about just what appears now, they know that its nature of seeing or hardness or anything, because it appears to that which experiences it. By conditions, they could understand instantly, but for people today, no, not like those people. Even one word needs very careful study, not to be misunderstood. So one can see that how can the teachings of Buddha is now declining and almost disappear because no understanding of the teachings enough, and people underestimate the Buddha's wisdom. They think that, oh, it's just like what they can get from just reading without thinking at all.
And underestimate the power of ignorance.
Right.
Ajahn, you were just mentioning, talking about right knowledge, and the question was, what's the difference between knowledge or rise and fall as in one of the Vipassana Yanas and ordinary awareness? What is the difference?
Ordinary what?
Awareness, satipatthana.
Okay. Hearing about the arising and falling away of reality right now, one can see that it's true, right? Just understand that. But is there any understanding of a characteristic now? Or just assume that everything arises and falls away? So that is not the way to have the clear comprehension of understanding just that particular one.
Satipatthana, there's also the knowledge of rise and fall.
Not from the very beginning at all. For example, touch. What do you know about that?
Well, this is just thinking on my part.
So it's not awareness.
It's not awareness. Mm-hmm. But if there is awareness.
If there is awareness, what does it know?
It knows the characteristic.
As what?
It's just an element.
Or a reality.
A reality.
Can it eliminate the idea of something from it?
No.
See, so it takes time.
But the knowledge includes that it is very
not
fleeting.
At that very moment. Because, pardon?
Oh, okay. Not at that very moment. It's just thinking about it afterwards.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How can there be awareness of the rising and falling away of reality from the beginning, because in the beginning a visible object appears, but it's such little understanding in the beginning. How can it be powerful enough to understand precisely the rising and falling away of visible object?
But one of the differences between because we were talking about awareness earlier, what is awareness aware of? So it's aware of a reality. And part of the reality is that it rises and falls away immediately.
Excuse me? And it's Panya which knows whether awareness arises or not. Like now? Does awareness arise?
No.
So when it arises, Panya sees the difference. Very natural.
Characteristic of awareness that is known, it's much later that it can be the understanding of awareness as conditioned reality or the arise and fall away or the fearfulness of awareness. But in the beginning, it's just the characteristic which is known, nothing known about its arising and falling away.
No, I understand. It's what I'm thinking is after awareness, there's thinking about it. And then there's thinking that it is fleeting, but it's not direct understanding, it's just the thinking that follows. I mean, you infer that it's fleeting, but not direct knowledge.
about awareness, the word intuition popped up. What is in the feeling like tapping into your intuition?
You know now that see is a reality, right?
Yes.
Just learn about it, that it's a reality. It is now seeing that which appears. Is this the direct awareness which understands the element, no one there, just the characteristic which has no shape, no form, but whenever it arises, it experiences an object. See, without all these words, can there be the direct understanding of it? For example, seeing might be very difficult. What about holding the microphone? What appears? No time to think about it. No time to know, because the understanding is so very little to condition awareness at the moment of holding something or touching something through the body. So no expectation, no desire to have it. But now this life, the whole life, is time to accumulate understanding without hoping or expecting to have the very strong understanding like we have heard now, because it's beyond control and it's beyond thinking about. Even the awareness of this moment, when it does not arise, how can you know its characteristic? When hearing does not arise, how can you see that hearing hears, not I? Hearing hears, see? So awareness is aware only when there are right conditions for its arising, because of understanding what's the best time or thing in life is to understand whatever appears. If you have such understanding, you will have less forgetfulness about knowing or understanding, seeing or hearing or thinking, instead of trying to do something that you think you might understand all these realities, but it's impossible. That's why Buddha taught for 45 years, because before anyone can have the direct awareness of a reality with right understanding, it takes time to know that it's not self, no one can control or make it arise at all. It depends on conditions, which is the understanding with detachment. Don't forget that when it's understanding, it detached. But when there's desire to have it, it implies that not enough understanding, because lobha can turn you towards developing the understanding of whatever appears. So what shouldn't be forgotten, or what should be kept in one's mind, is understanding, seeing right now, or hearing right now, touching right now, softness or hardness, or whatever appears, which in your life, no understanding, no awareness of them at all.
Annie just asked about intuition. So I think what we mean conventionally by intuition is like we say, oh, I suddenly, my intuition tells me that what I'm hearing is right, or my intuition tells me this is wrong, or my intuition tells me I should go here or there. I think it's just thinking, actually, yeah. Certain kind of thinking.
Well, yes, I think intuition can be applied in different circumstances, like what's safe to do or what's appropriate to do. And then there's intuition about what is the development of understanding. We have ideas about that, but it's a kind of thinking that is influenced by things that we've experienced or learnt or thought about before. As all of our thinking is.
How many worlds are there? One world or many worlds or what?
everyone has their own world. Everyone is living in their own world.
How many own worlds are?
What is
what we perceive as world?
So what's meant by world? Can we say that that which arises, if there's nothing arising at all, no world at all, so that which arises is world, a world. Sound is a world because it arises. Without sound, there's no world of sound. Visible object arises, otherwise there's no world of sight. And you take all of them as one world. But there are six worlds: seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. What else? Can it be more than this? More than these six? Seven? Eight? Or what? Or uncountable, because each is a world when it arises. But there are six doorways to experience: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind, one at a time.
And so if intuition is not
what is seen, what is heard, what is smelt, what is tasted, what is touched, then it must be the world of thinking through the mind, or no other doorway, no world.
And it's always with attachment. You're going to say it. Somebody can get it.
When one has that gut feeling or instinct or intuition about something, is that thinking because of conditions? It's not actually really anything but that.
I mean, there are just six worlds. If it's not the senses, then it must be the thinking.
Mm. Like we say, my gut reaction is we should turn left rather than right, but actually it's just thinking at that moment that left is the right way to go. So it's actually thinking.
Is there intuition now?
Access. So there's nothing. Everything's by conditions. I feel, perhaps I have felt, there's gut feelings about certain things in the past, but you know, now I'm understanding that it actually is just thinking.
Thinking with attachment.
Mm.
So we can see that one by one, all one's precious
sandcastles get knocked down, you know, the awareness sandcastle and the intuition sandcastle and the right concentration sandcastle, and because all revolve around the idea of I who is aware or has this intuition or am focusing rightly. And
we just forget all about
just conditioned realities that are a not self. Just moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, thinking.
Yes, well, I think we can still talk about intuition and gut feeling because there is a perceptible sort of difference to us. But it's a question of the significance we place on these. So if we understand it as just a particular kind of thinking, which is conditioned by previous experiences and ways of thinking, then we understand that it's not something that has any particular significance. is not invincible or infallible, for example, and our intuition can change from time to time. So if we are hearing something that is counterintuitive to our ears, then rather than, say, reject it, we should just appreciate that it's something that differs from what we instinctively incline to think or believe. But it can still be considered for its own merit. A lot of the teachings of the Buddha could be said to be counterintuitive. In fact, he said that his teaching goes against the stream of conventional thinking. And I think that's very true, because our world is a world of attachment. And the things that we give significance to in life are conventional achievements.
Like if you say, I have a gut feeling or my intuition tells me I should go to Burma and not to China, what does it mean? It just means that we're just thinking that this is a better place to go, or I would rather go, or something like that. But it's just a kind of thinking, isn't it?
So if things are by chance, like as, you know, when you have a feeling that you should call home because something doesn't seem right, for instance, and then you do call home and something isn't right, that's just
coincidence.
By chance.
If you notice more often than not, it's not what you, it doesn't turn out the way you think.
And what is true, if it does not arise, there's such intuition at all. So in reality, what is that? Without any experiences, without conditions, can there be what you call intuition? No. So it's just that which arises and falls away, that's all. The truth of everything which appears is, it is conditioned, so it can arise, but it falls away, no more.
Well, that I decided to do something. At that time, I didn't know why I make that decision. But the something happened after that, and then I understand why I choose that decision instead of other. So how can I understand about that?
Or are you? So it's still you, no matter it's such idea or thinking about. Just that which is conditioned to arise, it doesn't belong to anyone without certain conditions. That cannot arise, but you take the importance on it so much that you forget that it's only a reality thinking which is not seeing. So what's the use of trying to find out instead of understanding that it's conditioned, and you cannot know conditions for every moment in your life at all. Why do you like this, not that, see? Instead of thinking about intuition, what conditions such, like and dislike, in a day. What color do you like?
I know that I may don't have the answer why that, but I am at. It might be the case where one can learn more to understand more about that.
Can you know by yourself? Can you think of it to find out?
What can
be known now?
Just that it happened that way, that's all.
Yeah, and then it doesn't have any meaning later on. Whatever arises falls away. Not worthwhile to think about it. What about the understanding of that which now appears, not that which has fallen away?
That the thinking arises almost
because
the time.
You don't understand what thinking is.
Yeah, that's why I want to ask. There are a lot of thinkings.
Yes.
So how can understand and about the thinkings?
Is thinking real?
The thinking is real.
Is seeing real?
Yes.
Is hearing real?
Yes.
They are all conditioned?
Yes.
That's all. You cannot have the clear comprehension of thinking right now as not self, but sense understanding that it is conditioned. It means that there is no self who can condition any thinking at all. By understanding little by little, you get closer to understand. And that is the development of awareness. Not to think of other things. At moment of understanding the teachings, a level of awareness is there. Because if you don't mind or think a lot about understanding it, you think other way. You think of the other thing instead. That's not the way to understand what happens here and now. So instead of trying to know what conditioned thinking, intuition or what about now? Thinking is like seeing. When you say that seeing is real, it's exactly the same like when you say that thinking is real. Because there's no clear comprehension of even seeing and thinking. So it's impossible to think that I can try to understand thinking as a self. Like you might not have some idea that I can try to understand seeing as a self. Impossible. Because right understanding develops by little understanding. A little. Like ignorance now. It follows seeing unknowingly because it's ignorance. It cannot know. But right understanding knows what is what. Like when awareness arises, it's different from when there is only the experiencing of an object without awareness. That is panya, which begins from knowing when awareness arises and when awareness does not arise. Not trying to find out with the idea of self, I would like to know this, I would like to understand intuition or things like that. But what about now? See? Seeing is not intuition. It's not thinking. Just little by little, one learns to understand, to accumulate the understanding, the intellectual understanding, so there can be conditions to condition right awareness. By then, you understand what's meant by the word right awareness with right understanding, which are the path, Eightfold Path. Can you think of previous accumulation from eons and eons ago, which condition even just like or dislike of a particular reality, like some like green and some like blue? How come? See, instead of trying to find out in what life, how many eons ago, but by knowing that whatever appears now is conditioned, because you have had the experience of such object with like little by little until it becomes habit unknowingly. Like now, we sit differently, we think differently, all by conditions. We don't have to find out when this has been accumulated from life to life. But what appears now indicates the accumulation long, long time ago. Some like a funny story, very much. And some like life story, see? Different by accumulation. Instead of trying to know what condition instead of knowing that it's not self, even at that moment. It's just a reality. You don't have to find out whether it's what. But that characteristic shows its own characteristic or element, like hardness. You don't have to think that it's hard at all. Or when it's soft, you don't have to know or think that it's soft. Not necessary to say, because softness and hardness appear. You don't have to measure it either. Just know that it's a reality.
When you talk about conditions from past lives accumulated, how much is also, is it all from past life, or is there environment that...
All of them.
All the environment mm-hmm. you're born.
Yeah. You like durian?
The rain.
Durian.
The fruit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
By accumulation or without accumulation. For some people, they don't like at all. See? No control.
What about environmental factors that perhaps I've been influenced by my parents to like or dislike something? That mm-hmm. is that all part of what
yeah,
you talk of
yeah,
condition?
Yeah. Right.
But still it's all just one doorway at a time. The five senses in the mind, it's still always anywhere. It's just one experience at a time. What you call environment or, you know, whatever, it's still one doorway at a time. And if, for example, you like durian, it's safe to infer that there must have been attachment to the taste in the past.
Do you like the smell of durian? Do you like the softness of it, or hardness, or the taste, see, not the name? Or is the name pretty? Durian.
I like all of it, except the smell.
See? Yeah.
It's always knowing the present moment reality is the only solution for everything.
Mm-hmm. The past is completely gone.
It's the solution, it's the answer. It's the only way to have right knowledge is to understand the present moment, one at a time.
And talking about the present moment, earlier Lan Ajahn mentioned about samadhi at each moment, which is actually ekagata chittasika, and once or twice you've brought up, referred to samadhi. So do you agree there is samadhi at each moment, even now?
As I read that, every moment ekagata, one point at the, must be there. But I still think samadhi is like a state which is conditioned by many moments. So what is the difference between just one moment and the result of many moments?
Seeing moment, hearing moment, are they not different?
Yes.
Thinking?
Yes.
Each moment is different from the others.
Yeah, but it seems that when the same dhamma arise and pass away moment after moment, then its reason is will be more powerful than
just understand. only that. Don't think about whether that is powerful or this is not powerful. That is thinking a lot about that which doesn't come yet.
But no matter whether it arises continually and what you then think as being strong, it's still one moment at a time. And the concentration, right or wrong, is determined by whether there is understanding or there's ignorance. So it's still one moment at a time, and the concentration has the same object as all the other chetasikas. And the next moment is another concentration with the same object. It's one object at a time, always a new object. So what significance is there for the concentration to be strong? What difference does it make? It's still determined by whatever other chetasikas are there.
Yeah, it seems that the same certain amount of chetasika arise one continuously, one after another.
Can that eliminate the idea of self? Thinking like that?
What I want to understand here is if take into small part that it's nothing which is each rupa or each chetasika or each chitta, but with its own characteristics. But the problem, things become complicated when some or certain arise at the same time, all together, or arise all together for some time.
Yeah, you know, when some people understand and some people do not understand what it's talking about. Because they think of other things, not of that which is heard right then. So it's impossible to get anything from hearing, because one keeps on thinking about other things all the time.
Actually, hearing or seeing doesn't arise by it alone.
By conditions.
Yes. It had the relationship with other, or it arises all together with many other dhammas, reality. There are many conditions for it to arise.
Like at this moment of seeing has to be supported by seven chetasikas, right? Like there has to be contact, there has to be concentration, there has to be memory, and so on. There has to be attention in order for seeing to experience visible object. But if that still it is only visible object that is experienced at that moment, the other mental factors that assist seeing are not experienced. And if there is awareness of a reality, whether it is visible object or seeing or feeling, it's only aware of one reality at a time. But we know even when there is awareness of a reality, awareness cannot arise alone. There has to be the citta which experiences that object. There have to be at least those other seven mental factors and many others as well at that moment to support it. So even though each citta supported by many chetasikas, only one object is experienced. So even if awareness or understanding arises, only one object is experienced, even though many mental factors arising together.
And you know, why do we talk about this? About seeing and mental factors and so on? What's the point of talking about this?
I think it is basically, and it make simple, more simple.
So that there's more detachment rather than attachment to the idea of self, because usually there's the idea that I see visible object, or I am concentrating, or I am aware, or I have intuition. But by understanding a little detail or more detail or the whole Tipitaka of detail, the only purpose is to understand actually in life there are only dharmas, just conditioned dharmas. Seeing is a conditioned dharma, awareness is a conditioned dharma, concentration is a conditioned dharma, thinking is a conditioned dharma, visible object is a conditioned dharma. So the only point of hearing more and more details is to really understand in life that there is no person, there is no cup, there is no body, there is no thing. There are just these different conditioned dharmas arising and falling away all the time.
Yeah, then it make into a small part, then we'll see that there's nothing called I to ourselves. But then we'll be there. Yeah. But then when the new issue is that the relationship between many other reality at that moment.
But then this is just thinking, so a moment of seeing which sees visible object, and then moments of thinking about how there must be many different realities and intertwined, and then no understanding, no awareness again, because it's just thinking, taking one away from understanding the reality which appears now.
Can you give an example of this relationship between the different dhammas?
Then at one moment, only one reality is experienced. But many other rupa or citta arise at the same time, all together.
You mean as in citta accompanied by the cetasikas?
Yes.
And experiencing an
yeah.
object?
Yeah.
So what difference does it make to the understanding that there's only one reality that's known?
Then it will make... The situation become not so simple that only one dhamma alone, but it has many things else beside it.
No. So citta must arise with cetasikas, each performing their particular functions, and all experience arise at the same pace and experience the same object.
Yes.
In the beginning, there's knowing only the characteristic of reality in Satipatthana, and then distinguishing nama and rupa, and then conditionality and different stages. So all these, the knowledge grows with understanding, but still, it's always one object at a time. When it is known that seeing is conditioned by the base and the object, it is still knowing one object at a time. The knowledge is because of panya, that the developed panya, which knows, understands conditionality and everything, but it's still one object at a time. That's the only way.
Even just before the experience of nibbana, so when at the moment of enlightenment, nibbana is the object, but even before the experience of nibbana, only one object, one reality at a time. And nibbana is one object too. So only ever one object.
Would you like to study the teachings of the Buddha?
Yes.
What's the teaching about?
What's the teaching?
It's about. You know that you'd like to study the teachings, so you know what is the teaching about. It teaches about what?
The core of his teaching is often set up by the three common characteristics.
Of what?
Of every Dhamma.
What is Abhidhamma?
No, every Dhamma.
Every Dhamma. Mm-hmm. You mean seeing right now?
Yes. It's a Dhamma.
And how can there be more understanding of seeing and everything which is taught? To understand that there is no self. Each reality is no self. If there is the idea that there is I, there is self, is that the teachings of the Buddha?
That is a self, or there is an I. Is that we accept that
no
result?
No, we.
And try to think every day, everything in that way.
The studying of the teachings will lead to have the understanding of no self, no I, right? Only reality is from life to life. That is what he became enlightened as Buddha. Otherwise, he wouldn't be Buddha at all. If he didn't realize the truth of whatever appears now and teach and taught the other to have the understanding of whatever appears now as it is, no self, no one in it at all. Seeing is not self. There is no self in it. It arises to just see. It cannot think. It cannot hear. Whenever it arises, it sees. This is a characteristic of a reality. Now it arises and it sees. No self. And in the Tipitaka, all about the teachings about realities. The more one hears about the teachings, the more one begins to see that there is no self. And when one reads more, listens more, the details of everything condition the confidence on reality as not self. There must be seeing, hearing, or whisper object appearing before death, right? Or thinking. And when there is no condition to understand that very moment as just a reality, the self is there. So one knows that one will leave the world with the idea of self, or with the idea of that reality which appears as no self, not me, from life to life. Or it's not your purpose to know this, while you think that you are studying the teachings.
And it's not we try to think this way, because when we have the idea we must try to think this way, it's self again trying so hard. But just by beginning to understand, like now, there's just seeing, there's just thinking, no self there. How can there be a self that sees or self that thinks? Just different dharmas. So no idea, no need to have this idea of we try to do anything. There's no we who can do anything at all. Like we discussed yesterday, even intention, even effort, the conditioned dharmas. So it's not a matter of trying anything, just beginning to understand at this moment.
So now, have you got some truth about intuition? it's not seeing, it's not hearing, because hearing hears sound, not the intuition, not smelling, not durian, it's only smell. And at the moment of tasting something, it's not intuition at all. Touching, it experiences hardness, softness, no intuition at all, right? But what you take for intuition, it's not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, it's only thinking. So not you, why do we are not interested in intuition like someone, see, by conditions. Because it's only a moment of thinking, not seeing. By understanding this, you can see the change or the impermanence of all conditioned realities. Seeing passed away, it's fallen away, completely gone, while there is hearing, see, no more self, no more you, no more visible object at moment of hearing. And lives keep on going like this, from life to life. Only that. So what did one get from past life? Because this life is past life of next life. So what did you get from past life? Succeeded on each citta from that moment to this moment. Yesterday we talked about realities, and did it gain some understanding better than before yesterday? See, by conditions, that's the way it is. When you have tried durian, you like it? Would you like to have it again? See, depending on conditions, if you haven't had tasted the durian at all, can there be attachment to such taste? Impossible. But once it's tasted, attachment is there. So it search for it. And when you got it, you enjoyed having it. So we enjoyed having money, right? To get what we like from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Just for that. If you cannot have all those things by having money, why do you keep it? Why do you keep money for? See? But since you know that it's just for having more and again that you search for, so you keep money just to be able to give it away, to get something in return. And that is not the giving away things, not giving away attachment, but it's done because of attachment. See, so before we can understand what conditions or what motivates such and such action or deeds, there must be the understanding of realities. For some people, they mistake lopa attachment for kusala. They think that they have kusala, be able to give away things, but what for? Whether it's really giving away or just want something in return. All depends on the idea of self. As long as there's still I, all unwholesome realities cannot be eliminated. It's there very, very strong. Since it's so strong, that's why we keep on talking about all of these, to have more and more understanding, because only the understanding can completely eradicate what unwholesomeness that has been accumulated. One day, that person will have no unwholesomeness at all when Panya develops to that degree. But when there is doubt and expectation, it doesn't bring any understanding. just want to understand this or that, not what appears now, or not the anotherness of everything, then there is a self trying to do this or that for some time, even while one is listening to the teachings. That's why even listening to the teachings needs the right purpose. Many people read Tipitaka like an academic subject, just for that, how many chetasikas are there, whether there is virya with this moment or not, but not knowing that what for, just to understand the anatomy, that is the benefit of understanding reality, to really understand that there is no I at all, no self, no permanent thing, only different realities conditioned to arise and pass away unknowingly and very rapidly beyond expectation. That's why each time, what do you see? I see a glass, I see a table. But the seeing cannot see the table. What it can see is only visible object. And after that, it conditions other moments which recognizes or know what the object is. Just to know the truth, and this is what is meant by not being forgetful to now what appears, just to be understood clearer and better, to condition moment of understanding it with right awareness, not I am aware or I try to be aware. It means that no understanding of even the word anatta, not self. So you know now what intuition is. What is it?
It's just a word. It's just moments of seeing, hearing.
Only thinking.
Conditioned.
So you see that in a day, many, many times of thinking, only thinking. Because just a moment of seeing, moment of hearing, after that, thinking. So one lives in one's own thought, from hearing, smelling, seeing, tasting. Is there anyone here in this room?
No one at all.
See? Like this, exactly like this, when the understanding of seeing is there, no place, nowhere, no idea of I base, no idea of such and such, no world at all, not I am sitting here and see. No world beside that which experiences visible object. Not me is there. So before that, the accumulation of having firm confidence on, is it true that seeing just sees? At this moment, there must be conditions like the eye base. But at moment of understanding, seeing of, is that as that which experiences only, no idea about I-bears. Otherwise, at moment of thinking about I-bears, it's not the understanding, the seeing as it is. It's still where it is at the I-bears, see, it's still I then, or it's my I-bears. In order to eliminate the idea of self, nothing appears accept that which is the object of understanding. And one knows what is awareness and what is understanding. No self at all. It can be concentration, samadhi, when it is the object only. So anything can be object of understanding at any time. It indicates the anatta-ness of all conditioned realities at any time, any object. And that's the developed right understanding, because it's a clear comprehension of reality at that very moment. Otherwise, it's only expectation, do this in order to understand that. It's impossible. It has to begin now, whether there is right awareness or not yet. It's direct awareness or not yet. And there's some conditions, very little, not many, condition to condition right awareness with right understanding. And is this calm? No expectation. But when one tries very hard, it's not calm. At moment of not understanding anything, it's not calm. At the moment of thinking that the citta is still no experiencing of anything which will trouble the mind, it's not calm. So one has to understand reality of calmness, not just the word calm, and want to be calm without knowing what calm really is. So at moment of seeing, is there calmness at moment of seeing? See, one cannot imagine whether there is not or not. Only right understanding developed. If you don't talk about seeing and hearing, it's the calmness now. See? No understanding. Better than have wrong understanding. See? Ignorance cannot understand, but wrong view, take it wrongly. More difficult to eradicate wrong understanding. Otherwise, one does not see the value of the teachings of the Buddha at all. No use to study, some would say, too much to learn, see? But for those who see that if Buddha didn't talk about Dhamma, reality, who can know about that? Even the word Dhamma is not heard at all, or is something, not absolute reality. Who understands that what one takes for a cup, only when it's seen, it's not a cup, it's that which can be seen. When it's touched, it's not a cup. It's only that which can be touched. Hardness or softness, heat or cold. And ignorance is there. When there's no understanding. Is what he taught for 45 years enough? See? See? Enough for those who understands and develops. Because the teaching is not just to understand, but panya begins to develop. Not at anyone's will, but by conditions. And one realizes that if there is no understanding right now, it's impossible to understand what he taught for 45 years. He's the enlightened one, but it seems like he likes other teachers or any teacher who just teach about what they're teaching. But what about the understanding, the true nature of reality? Like no self, no one. But when one is taught to do, no understanding.
John, if it's not about what appears now, then it's just thinking about the Dharma with attachment.
And don't know what Dharma is. Just the words he can recite. Dharma is such and such and such. What about now?
When we say about visible object, and Thayachan mentioned where is it, where is the visible object? In that object, in the primary rupa or at the eye base? We have to understand the difference.
Yeah, the eye base is the eye base. Does it have visible object too with it, the eye base?
At the eye base.
Yes, but it cannot be seen.
It has to be in the kalapa, in the group. Mm-hmm. Eye base couldn't arise without.
And that's where the visible object can be experienced.
But otherwise, there is no understanding about visible object because it's taken as something all the time, like this. But in order to know, where is it? Without the four primary rupas, can there be any reality which can impinge on the eye, like this is taken away, see? But when it is here, this word object is there to be seen. But it doesn't mean that when you are seeing, you should think about it, the story of it. But to know that it's just a reality because it can be seen. But in order to have less attachment to a cup or thing, one knows that one clings to visible object of this. Do you like this one or this one? See? Seeing, and it can condition attachment to this or to that. Even there are cups, but they're different. The color. See, this is not this. So in order to have less attachment, one should know, no matter what one take for clothes or table or anything, there is attachment to visible object which is there, together with other rupas like a pencil or a pen. You like red pen or blue pen, see?
But when you ask, when visible objects experience, where is it? Because at the moment of understanding the characteristic of visible object, no idea of place at all, because it's just the characteristic of visible object, which appears just that which is seen. If there's an idea, well, the visible object's over here or there or here, then it's not understanding, it's not awareness of the characteristic of visible object at that moment, because it's thinking about where is it. So no place in the visible object at all. A bit like when hardness is experienced. At that moment of experiencing, it's just a characteristic of hardness which appears. No idea of the hardness of the table or the hardness of the body. It's just hardness which appears at that moment.
So, therefore, when we experience the visible object, such as cup, seeing, not see cup, but seeing, experience visible object and no place, after that, if we see the cup over there, so this is the idea. And we think more that the visible object stay with the primary rupa, so that's the idea with the panya or without panya. So it's not the visible object itself that we understand or experience. Is that right?
Because you see, in Tipitaka it says that seeing sees visible object, and we just pass these words without thinking about visible object at all. But there's clinging to visible object too, not just the hardness and softness and the shape and form. So in order to know what is it, can it arise alone? Or it's a reality different from hardness, but it's there. See? To see that visible object is not hardness, not a cup. But without this, what do you see? Because now you see the trees and the house over there. But actually, if there's the idea of something there, it's not the understanding of visible object as visible object. So in order to understand visible object as just a reality, at moment when it appears, no thinking about hardness, like no thinking about the ibis, but it's real because it is seen. It can be object of attachment because you like that visible object. Like when there is tasting, when tastes appear, you think of the taste base or only the taste. At that moment, is there any idea whether it's soft or hard? No. But without the four primary rupas, taste cannot arise. But at that very moment, in order to understand that each reality arises by conditions, they are not that which we take for something permanent, like cup. It's broken down into just a reality which can be directly experienced one at a time by itself, as no self, no cup, nothing in it. Otherwise, one just talk about seeing this visible object. See, but no understanding of that which is seen as just a reality, no more idea about it as cup or things, because actually it's not a cup, and it's not hardness, it's that which can impinge on the eye and appear as it is, that which can be seen. Otherwise, it's only the idea that visible object, visible object. See?
Because we see as the object all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not visible object at all.
Mm-hmm. Something. Okay. Something. I see a cup, see? But in order to know that what you call a cup, and at moment when what appears to seeing is a reality, you don't have to think that it's there. Even it's there. But the other rupa, like hardness, cannot impinge on the eye, only that which appears.
So, no dimension at all.
Otherwise, when someone asks, what is visible object? See? Can you say that it's there with the four primary rupas? When we study about the eight in the visible rupas, we talk about the four primary: hardness, softness, heat and cold, motion of pressure, and also the cohesion. Just talk about the four, and another four rupas like visible object must be there. From theory, you understand everything, that there are eight indivisible rupa. But when it appears, do you know where it is? You don't have to think about it, because from book, you know that it's there. But when it appears, in order to know that it's not that which you take for a roof or a tree or grass, see, it's that which can be seen only there. And you can see how much clinging one cling to that which can be seen. In a day, sometimes more than the four primary rupas and other rupas, like now. No clinging to taste, no clinging to heat and cold, soft or hard, but there is clinging to visible object.
And because each visible object seen, each reality experience has its sign or nimitta, afterwards there are ideas about dimension and shape and details about color, and then thinking about concepts, ideas about cups and tables, because each visible object that's seen is only a visible object, but each one is different, each one has its sign. So there are reasons, conditions to think in this way or that way. But at the moment of experiencing visible object, just that which is seen, which is experienced or can be known. So ideas of dimension, all this is thinking afterwards.
At the moment when I ask which one you like, it's not clinging to the cup, the idea of cup at all. Which one do you like? What is the object of clinging?
Idea?
No, which one do you like?
Do you like the one with pattern?
Yeah.
The one with the pattern?
With the pattern.
So at that moment, you do not cling to the cup, but you cling to that which is seen. So one knows that what is the doorway, like eye door, ear door, see? It experiences just one reality at a time. At that moment, there is nothing else. But when there is no understanding from seeing to touching, see, and shape and form, you like that, like you like the shape and the form and the pattern. But in reality, it's only that which is seen. It's the object of clinging. Before knowing that how much clinging is in the day, there must be theoretical understanding, intellectual understanding, to have firm understanding that there are different realities which can be object of attachment. And there must be the precise understanding of each, that the visible object is not a cup, hardness is not a cup, taste is not a cup.
But the child never stops at just attachment to the visible object. It's always also to the nimitta and anupayacana.
Mm-hmm.
Always it follows.
Yeah, because of the seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But actually attachment comes in so quickly, even in the idol process. Attachment instantly.
Yes, yes.
And
there has to be, otherwise there wouldn't be attachment to the signs, unless
no.
There's attachment to the
visible object. Itself.
For example, what do you like this one? No thinking. No thinking about cup.
Yeah, before the thinking about the cup, then it's towards this one. But after thinking about cup, maybe we like a cup without design.
After seeing, when you cling to this, and then later on you think that I like
this
thing?
Yes, I mean, if you were to think on further to choose a cup for an occasion, then maybe we would choose.
the one without the design.
They can do the same thing, holding the water. See? What makes it the one that you like after thinking?
Association with other. The table.
Whether it goes with the.
We see accumulated thinking in different way and deception.
Word of ignorance.
May I ask about the, let's say, the state of sleepiness or drowsiness?
Are they real?
I checked that. I don't know how, by which sense though can that be experienced, but actually I feel sleepy or I feel...
If it doesn't arise, how can you feel that way?
But it does arise.
If it doesn't.
If it doesn't.
It arises, but I don't know, it's not by hearing, it's not by testing, or
no
by
need
touching.
To think about it, but learning to know that it's a reality, not you.
So by which sense, though, can it be experienced?
It's seen, it's touched, it's heard, it's experienced through the mind, though. No shape, no form, untouchable, unseen, but it's there. So among all the realities of Dhamma, only one reality can be seen, that's all. Sleepiness cannot be seen, cannot be heard, cannot be touched. Its character is there. When it arises, you cannot change its characteristic at all. But knowing that it's so real, because it's there, and it's not you anymore, when there's the understanding more and more about reality, conditioned, arising and falling away, it's like protection from clinging and ignorance when there's panya.
I often heard that bring back to one of the six sense now, if otherwise it will be stories. So now it is just a story.
Not only story can be the object of thinking. Like citta, consciousness, feeling. They are not story. They are real. That can be known through mind only, because no one can see it. It's not visible object. No one can hear it because it's not sound. It has its own characteristic. All other dhammas cannot be seen. So that's why there are six doorways to experience an object. The eye is one doorway. The ear is another doorway. The nose is another doorway, tongue is another doorway, and body base other doorway. But not only that, there is thinking, feeling, liking, disliking, attachment, aversion, many, many realities, like how many cetasikas are there. They cannot be seen, but they are real. And they can be known through mind only.
So the sleepiness, or drowsy, or tiredness is
okay. Is it citta, or is it rupa, or is it cetasika?
I think it can be mixed between rupa and
no,
citta.
No, not at all. Can this be sleepy?
Because the table cannot be sleepy.
So, can it be rupa?
But for living being, I don't know. I think that the...
Are you sleepy now?
a moment ago before she took the microphone. The microphone brings her to life. Jonathan was also falling asleep a moment ago.
I think maybe Larnin has in mind that there are certain, what we might call physical things,
symptoms
that happen, symptoms, like you want to close your eyes or put your head down.
Yes, maybe.
So it's not the understanding of the characteristic which can experience and that which cannot experience. All are dhammas, but when we talk about the chief dhammas, that can experience and that which cannot experience, only two different, main different realities.
So the sleepiness or the mental factors, tinamita, the mental factors which arising of certain unwholesome cittas, and the citta may condition various rupas, but the sleepiness or the tiredness of the mental factors at that moment.
As you turn, that reminds me about how little understanding there is of anything, of seeing and hearing. I mean, we have doubt about one reality, and what we think we understand may not actually be there.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we don't learn more to understand more, if you think that that's enough.
It seems that the state of sleepiness or drowsiness or energetic or tiredness or many others, but some are story, but some are...
Why you say story?
Story, because I often heard that...
You mean that sleepiness is story?
That's what I asked now. Well, something is story and something is...
When it arises, what story is there? Story.
I often heard that what is not experienced by one of the six sense door, then it will
it
be
story. It is experienced through the mind door because it appears.
So in the same way, might think that the energetic or excited.
Even you don't call it anything, it's there. So you don't have to call it sleepiness. But the characteristic of a reality is there. Nobody can change it. It does not arise all the time. But when there are conditions for its arising, it arises. You don't have to call it drowsiness or sleepiness or laziness or whatever. Just that characteristic is real. Is it not real? So reality need not to be called anything. But in order to know what we mean right then, we have to use the words. Like seeing and hearing, we don't have to call it this seeing or that hearing. Seeing sees, we don't have to say that because it is seeing. But in order to make it known, so we use the words to represent seeing is not hearing, like drowsiness and laziness and sleepiness. We don't have to call it differently. Even they are different at a time. But the characteristic is there to be known as not self, just a reality that cannot be seen. It cannot experience anything because whatever arises has two different characteristics. It has to be that which experiences or that which does not experience, in order to see that there is no one there, only that which arises and experience, or that which arises and cannot experience. None of them.
I think when you were saying, trying to get across with that, since we don't understand it as a reality, we're just thinking about it in the form of a story, right? When we refer to drowsiness, being lazy, we don't understand the reality. So what we, when we refer to this, is just as a story. Is this what you were trying to say?
Not that what is not experienced by one of sense, then it will be the story, and then try to find an example about what. But I, up to now, I didn't find any.
You heard only that, because you don't know that there are other realities that can be experienced through the mind or two. You think that only story can be object.
Yes, I didn't agree
and
that.
It's not said that only story.
Yeah, I think that there are many other reality. But every, like let's say sister or brother, when asked the question, that's just the story.
Mm-hmm. But what about citta? It's not a story, and it cannot be experienced through the other five doorways at all. In order to understand that which experiences, it's only one doorway, mind door. So mind door does not experience only story.
Realities and
consciousness. Other realities, the nibbana, can be object of mind door, citta.
Yes.
And citta, cetasikas, and other rupas besides the seven characteristics which can be known through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body in daily life, the other kind of rupa must be experienced through mind, not only story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So now you know more, that it's not just the story that can be object through of mind or consciousness.
Oh, that's what I also think.
If only stories could be experienced through the mind, or if realities couldn't be known through the mind, or it would be impossible to develop any understanding at all. Because
yes,
it would mean no namas, for example, could ever be known. So it would be impossible to develop understanding at all.
So come back to the intuition. So can that be also there?
Thinking. That's what we came to a conclusion, that is just thinking.
So,
intuition.
So at those moments of what we consider it called intuition, we have an idea about something. So the reality is thinking, and there can be awareness of thinking. But at those moments of thinking, long ideas and stories about how I had a hunch and I called my mother because I thought there was something wrong, and then it turned out there was something wrong, or it turned out there wasn't something wrong. This is just thinking about stories,
yes,
thinking about concepts.
So what would be classified in the thinking? Or,
so the thinking is a reality.
Citta.
Citta, accompanied by cetasikas, but like vitakka and ekagata and manasikara, so these are realities, but the object of the thinking, oh, I must call my mother and let's see what's wrong and I have this idea, the object of the thinking are concepts or stories. So we have to distinguish between the reality, such as thinking, and the object of that thinking, which is, the object of thinking is always concept or a story, but that doesn't mean thinking can be the object of understanding. Then it's the reality which appears through mind, or that is known only through mind. Or
so we will distinguish based on the list of citta, or the list of cetasika, or the list of rupa, which is Buddha thought.
I
The distinguishing can only be known through the development of understanding. So understanding now can understand what is thinking and how thinking is different from the concept or the idea. So the concept or idea, my mother is sick, this can only ever be thought about. It's not a reality, it can't be known. But the moment of thinking now, this is real, it can be known. So just like sleepiness or drowsiness, there's a reality, mental factor. So it's real, it can be known. But the sort of daydreaming and the ideas that are thought about at such a time, they're just concepts that are thought about. So they cannot be the object of understanding.
So is hungriness or tiredness a reality?
You tell me.
It does appear. There is hungriness and there's tiredness. Oh.
Yes, so they are reality?
Must be. Otherwise, would you feel hungry and tired?
Well, she means, is there a reality of hunger? That's her question, right? Or do you mean?
Yes, so is that a hungriness or tiredness is one reality? Which one?
Or just
story?
Are you hungry? Are you hungry now?
Hungry now.
So, will you be hungry?
When
or no hungry?
Condition.
Or no hunger at all?
Of course, sometimes I feel hungry, but I don't know.
Even
that
you don't call
here.
It hunger, is it that which is hungry?
Yes, even I don't call that with a name, mm-hmm. but it's still that state.
Does it arise? Does it arise?
I think it arises.
Whatever arises is conditioned.
Yes.
It's a reality. Story does not arise, but thinking arises. So whatever arises is a reality.
So at the moment of feeling hungry, then
yes.
it will be the reality at that time will be the
Why
thinking.
Why not? It's different from feeling. Pleasant or unpleasant, or is it? Conditioned by what? Without the body, the stomach, can there be hunger? Or you think that you are hungry, or even you don't think it's hunger? The feeling, right? Is feeling real?
The feeling is real.
And hungry? Real or not?
That's what I want to ask now.
What do you think, David?
Hunger is a concept.
So?
So the feeling is real.
Mm-hmm. Feeling bad, is it hunger?
It's unpleasant, the bodily feeling. Feeling full after eating.
So it just...
But
so
that's
it
also unpleasant, feeling full.
Well, I didn't say too full. I mean, let's say satisfying.
So you just bring back to that is unpleasant feeling, not
but
any reality.
Excuse
cold.
Me, bodily unpleasant feeling is
yes.
hunger.
But what is the so-called, what the state which is so-called hungriness, it's just an idea, is that?
It's not just an idea, but of course there are certain realities that happen and we call it being hungry.
But the stomachache or the headache.
Yeah,
about
it's like
thirsty.
Exactly like thirsty or headache. There are realities. But when we talk about them, we do think about them, and we do conceptualize about them. But the story that we have, and that we give the label of headache or being hungry,
it reflects certain realities. So if we're talking in terms of Dhamma, as we are now, we can say that feeling hungry is represents certain realities.
Some realities.
I didn't hear it clearly. What do you say?
I said certain realities, yes.
Yes.
So if you want to say it's a story, it is in a sense, because we are using conventional language and we are thinking in terms of a multiple moments of experience. So of course.
You mean the so-called state hungriness or thirsty is some realities which would be experienced by some sense doors? Is that?
Well, the feeling tired, I think, is his consciousness is, but as we said earlier, there are certain bodily reactions that tend to go with that. So depends how specifically we're trying to speak. So if you want to say feeling thirsty, for example, part of that is one has a dry throat, you want to take some water, unpleasant, uncomfortable feeling, but it's all real. But it's not just one reality, one Dhamma.
That's what I also think, and I agree. But I did feel opposed when someone just say that all those are just stories.
Well, babies cry, right? And we wonder why babies cry. Sometimes they might feel what we call hunger. They might feel what we call thirsty. They might feel dosa. They might feel a number of things, but they don't have a story to go with that. But those are realities.
They're still thinking. They're like the animal, still, like we said about the animal hunting, they're still thinking about concepts, even though there are no names or labels. One moment, like now, when they're feeling thirsty, moments of painful bodily feeling, painful bodily experience, experiencing certain rupas like hardness, and then long, long stories about feeling thirsty or hungry, because the moments of painful bodily experience are so brief, just one moment, and then so much in between each sense door process must be mind door processes, so much thinking about it, and then the thinking is about stories, that if there wasn't the unpleasant bodily experience, then no conditions for that kind of thinking about I am thirsty, I am hungry.
And I don't think you'll find anyone who will just dismiss hunger as just a story, or drowsiness as just a story. There are realities. I mean, there are concepts based on realities.
Without realities, without khandhas arising and falling away now, no stories at all. Impossible.
So you just want to be told or understand whatever appears by your consideration.
It can become a
barrier to approach.
Is seeing real?
real.
Visible object?
Yes, it's real. As
sleepiness?
By theory, it's real.
By theory? What do you mean by theory? When theory says, you believe that it's real. But if the theory doesn't talk about it, you don't know anything, or you learn to know what is real and what is not real.
I don't think that it's real.
Whatever is real has its own characteristic. Never change. When you are full, when you eat a lot, and when you are hungry, different kind of feeling, right?
Yes.
Pleasant or unpleasant, both?
Normally it will be unpleasant.
So unpleasantness is real? Or not real?
Normally we think that...
We think or it's real? Even we don't think, it's there.
It's real, but with the idea that...
After. When there is no reality at all, there is no concept, no story about anything. Right?
Yes.
So there must be reality. And to understand what is real and what is not real. Even the book says like that, if you read some book, seeing is not real. Do you believe that?
Oh, by condition, I didn't read that, so I don't think that I would believe that when I read that.
So what do you mean by real?
It arises. It arises.
So is seeing real?
It arises, so I think it's real.
Is hunger real?
I also that it's real.
Pardon? Is hunger real?
It's the result of some...
No, just, is it real? Because you say the seeing is real, because seeing rises.
Yes.
And is hunger real?
I think it's real.
You think or it's real?
When hunger arises, is it real or...
You don't have to think.
I will think that hungry is real.
If you don't think, is it real?
It's real.
No matter you think or not?
Yes.
Okay, so hunger is a reality. What about sleepiness?
It's also real.
Okay, that's right.
And so when you said there's a barrier, what is the barrier? You said when people say something or this or that, what is the real barrier?
When I heard something that just the story, then that can be the barrier, what I heard.
But actually, when understanding develops and knows more about realities at this moment, then it doesn't matter what it says in the book. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says, or it doesn't matter if there's miscommunication, and it doesn't matter what other teachers say, because, as Ajahn said, it has to be one's own understanding. So if one thinks in terms of, well, this person says this, but that's different from this person says that, and therefore there's a barrier, or this, I feel hungry, but that person says it's not real, or this person says it's still, never mind what anyone says, because at the moment of seeing, there can be understanding of seeing. The moment of visible object, there can be understanding, only visible object appears. Moment of hunger or painful bodily feeling, it's real, it can be known as a reality. So it doesn't matter if there's miscommunication or what anyone says, because the truth is to be tested out, not just believe because this Ajahn or another Ajahn says it's like this, right?
Yes, but it's like deny something which I think is real, and that can be the condition not to to approach more.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, can you give an example?
Because, for example, if you say, oh, well, I'm feeling hungry and I'm thinking about having some delicious food or something like this, and someone may say, well, that's just a long story, because it is a long story, because just one moment of painful bodily feeling, and then there's a long story about what I may choose to have in the restaurant for lunch or something. So there may be misunderstanding as well.
Yeah, I think that can be the concern with some who are new to the teaching.
Sorry? Yes, exactly.
If we hear something that contradicts what we previously think or believe, I said, if we hear something that contradicts what we previously think or believe, then that the views we hold can be a condition for unpleasant feeling to arise, right? Because we are hearing something that seems to challenge our views. So that's just another reality at that moment. And if we are interested in understanding more about the way things really are, then it will not bother us what we hear, whether it agrees with our views or disagrees, because we can just consider it in the light of our understanding and experience.
So, Lam is thinking, never mind whatever you say about meditation, I'll just continue doing it because I know that it's right.
Excuse me.
Never mind what others say about meditation, I'll continue doing it because I know it is right.
The thing is that we don't have to talk about meditation. It's helpful, I think, to talk about what is real.
Oh, it seems to be real. Do you think so, Annie?
I mean, what is real at the present moment?
So some people will be put off because of their ideas about meditation or stories, of course, because it goes against what they would like to do.
That's why we talk about what is real at the present moment.
And what is story?
Because it makes all these other theories and ideas unnecessary for the moment.
What about your ideas or your understanding about what is real and what is not real? About what is real and what is not real, your belief or your understanding?
My idea.
Your understanding or your belief, whether this is real and that is not real. Do you have any understanding or idea whether this is real and this is not real? By thinking or by considering or by what? Is real or not real? Now we're talking about that which is real and that which is not real. Do you have any standard or measurement?
Isn't it? What? Yeah, you feel hungry and it's a reality, and the thinking follows. You can go into stories about, oh, what am I going to have? But the actual feeling is a reality, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you know that hunger is not thinking. They are real,
yeah,
but they are different.
Yeah.
it does mean that hunger is not real and thinking is real. Hunger is real and thinking is real, and hunger is not thinking. It's that which arises, and it's that way you cannot change hunger to seeing or to thinking.
Not to be hungry because it's arisen.
Yeah, so. It's like no one can force not to see.
Mm-hmm. Or not to think about stories about where I'm going to eat my lunch.
Yeah.
And to try not to think about stories is completely wrong, right? Because that would be wrong path and wrong practice if we have the idea that hunger is real and thinking is real, but then there shouldn't be thinking about stories. That would be completely wrong, because no understanding of thinking is a reality.
So do not be afraid to consider what is real and what is not real. Without consideration and thinking over it to find out, it's only your idea but not the truth. But when you know what is real and what is not real, then you can tell what is real and what is not real. No need to be told at all. The person who tells you might be wrong, who knows, when it doesn't agree with reality. So, I think that, what about the extending the merit? Please, and I'll say it in Thai, for Khun Dondon's mother. Okay. In English, you know. Yes, please.
May the Kusali deeds
we have done today be known to my parents and to those to whom I owe gratitude and to all beings. May their origin in this world and another world, including Khun Mae Khun Duong Duen. May they all rejoice in these good deeds. We all join together to offer the merits that we have done in the Khun Mae Khun Duong Duen, Khun Pa Nan Paramitham.